Welcome, everybody. Hi, Jenny.
Hello.
Welcome to the Changing Perspectives podcast, brought to you by Jenny and Josh Brennan.
That's right.
This is episode 105. 105 episodes.
I know. It's a nice, neat number.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can't believe it's been 105 episodes.
I know. It's, well,
crazy town.
Yeah, it's been, we've been at this a long time. Even though we've had some breaks,
little hiatuses, some longer than here, others, here and there.
Yeah, little hiatuses. We've still, 105 is a lot of episodes. And I mean, kind of secretly, it's 106th, right? Because now if you subscribe to our top level of Patreon subscription tiers, you get an extra, or at least one extra episode a month that we call Rambling Perspectives, which is just us turning on the mics and talking about something. So today we talked about, you got to see me do my makeup because I was not ready yet. So maybe that's interesting for you. But we talked about everything from fairy tales to reality TV to anxiety meds to maybe that was it.
Thanksgiving.
Yeah. If you're interested in checking that out, consider joining our top tier of members over on Patreon.
Yeah. Check us out. Check out the Changing Perspectives podcast on Patreon, where you can find all kinds of cool stuff, like what? Like extra content?
Yeah, so
our
videos? I wish I had
I'm going to pull it up right
this. Now. Okay. Some of our levels also get free gifts. So exclusive Changing Perspectives merchandise. And so what that merchandise is that for those tiers, and Josh will check, it's the one that says access to exclusive Changing Perspectives merchandise. Every 3 months of your membership, you get a new gift. So your first gift, and all of them are like motivational quotes and images. After your first 3 months, you get a sticker. Then after 6 months, you get a 4x6 print, like a pretty print. And then after 9 months, you get another sticker. And then after 12 months, you get another print. And then and we'll consider maybe doing some more stuff too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. And so depending on the level, did you find it? Are you going to read it?
Still looking for it.
Oh, okay. Depending on the level, you also get early access to episodes. So before they get released to the general public, they are up there on Patreon for you to listen to. And if you are part of the highest level of membership, you also get the video recordings of our episodes, which, you know, sometimes are exciting. Like right now, I'm doing my nails while we are recording this podcast, because tomorrow, as we're recording this, it's the day before Thanksgiving. And tomorrow is Thanksgiving. And so I'm going to attempt to do my nails. And I am confident that by noon on Thanksgiving Day, I will have picked most of them off. And I will not have pretty nails for Thanksgiving Day pictures. But I'm going to give it a go and try it because I haven't done my nails in a while. So we're going to attempt to have pretty nails.
Are you going
to attempt to
that.
Have pretty nails, Josh, too?
Yes.
What were you going to say?
That I haven't seen you with your nails done recently.
Well, no, because I stopped paying for it because it gets expensive. Two, it takes like 2+ hours to get them done because I like having them dipped. Three, it's bad for your nails. So one, like when you go and take the dip off and you don't get them redone, your nails look terrible. And yeah, so time, money, and like the impact on your nails. And I guess four, I had found this other solution, which is nail stickers, that I can do at home. They look like, dip. They're very durable. They're easy to do. They're not messy. But the past few times I've gotten them, they didn't hold up. But also the past few times that I've gotten them, I now lift weights in the gym. And so I'm not exactly gentle on my fingernails anymore. So
no, you're not.
That also could be what's going on.
And we hear that nice fingernail clipper coming over the mics.
Sorry about that. So yes, like, did you
I'm having trouble finding the Patreon levels. I apologize. Okay, well, I have it. You do?
I do. Yeah, I was going to look for it, and you were like, no, I will do it.
I thought I had it. That's so weird. It's tough for me to, to use my computer while we record because I don't want to mess up the audio. Mm-hmm. And I know I have it saved on the tab somewhere. But
okay, so here it is. So our first level is supportive perspectives, and that's $3 a month. So you get shout outs per name in at least one episode each month of your membership. And then access to our members only community, which is online on the Patreon platform, where you can connect with other episodes, talk about, connect with other listeners. And talk about episodes. and if you sign up in the month of everyone, regardless of your tier, if you sign up in the month of November 2022, you actually get a free copy of my ebook, Confessions from the Couch. Okay, so that's our first tier. Our middle tier is called Extra Perspectives. That's $5 a month. That's all of the same things from the supportive perspectives. In addition, you get early access to new episodes, and you get the merchandise. So every 3 months, you get either a sticker or a 4x6 print. And then our top tier is Inside Perspectives, all of the other things, plus the monthly rambling perspectives, extra episode exclusive only to, Inside Perspectives members, and then video recordings of every episode. And that is $7 a month. And, all of that helps us continue to do what we do, right? Like pay for platforms and stuff like that.
Speaking of shout outs, are we supposed to shout out the newest members?
Yeah. You want to do that?
Sure.
Do you have access to it, or are you asking me to do it?
I remember one. But I don't have access to it.
All right. Well, why don't we do that at the end of the episode?
Okay.
Because I'll pull them all up, and we can
perfect.
We can call out some members.
All right. Well, let's transition right now to the episode proper.
Okay.
And we are going to discuss a very important topic for this time of year. Well, top part of this topic is important for all the times of the year, we're going to specifically talk about holiday grief.
Yes.
So dealing with loss during the holiday season, either a fresh loss, somebody that you just recently lost right before the holidays, or, I mean, grief is very individual and unique to each person, but somebody that you lost, you know, years ago or some time ago, that during the holidays, it's particularly more difficult to not have them around.
Well, and I would also extend that to it. It's not necessarily just a person, right? Because what we know about grief is that grief happens anytime we lose something or someone to whom we're attached. So if we've lost a job, if we've lost a home, if we've lost a relationship, and of course, if we've lost a person, and it doesn't have to be just like a loss of person through death, but maybe a relationship that is now over, all of that can be grief, and all of that can be particularly extra hard during the holidays.
Well, let's continue this first foray, so to speak, in this discussion about what further defining what is grief. So you just said it's someone's reaction to the loss of someone or something that they held, to which they held an attachment.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yes.
Grief is, and can you guess where I'm reading from?
Well, are you reading from the, my holiday grief series?
I am.
Okay. Well, don't give it all away.
Well, I told you this is going to be, episode fodder though.
Yeah, but
We won't give it all away. But okay. I really like how you talk about what is grief and defining it. And it's not just the emotional reaction, but also involves physical, behavioral, thoughts, social, and spiritual components, right?
Yes. Right. So I think people often think of like, oh, you're grieving, so you're sad, right? But it's also, it can be so much more, right? We can feel it physically. We can feel it sort of socially. We can feel it kind of psychologically. It's really all encompassing. And during the holidays, I would say the holidays are all encompassing, right? Like there's all this pressure to enjoy the holidays and live them to their fullest and squeeze every ounce of joy out of it and be happy and spread holiday cheer and be cheerful. And it all just feels extra loud and extra hard when you're really grieving. So every time we talk about this topic, or every time I write about this topic, especially this time of year, people are really interested in it. And I would say, as a therapist, this is my particularly as a grief therapist, this is my busiest time of year.
I think that for me, what really resonates is the physical reaction to grief. I think about losses that I've had, and I feel like I feel them in my chest. Like there's either a pressure or an emptiness, or like this void that you can physically feel.
Yeah.
So that really resonates with me. I wonder if others can benefit from thinking about grief, not just in terms of sadness, right?
Yeah. Well, and that's, I think, why this topic is always so, I don't know if I want to say well received, but like why it is sort of I have no words today and it's only Wednesday. Why there's so much consumption of it is because we don't talk about it, right? Like as a society, we're very much a death denying society. We don't like to talk about people who've died. We don't like to say that someone died. We'd rather say they passed. They're no longer with us. But we'll say, you know, batteries died, or I'm dead tired all day long. But when we're talking about real people, we don't talk about it. And so we avoid talking about grief too. So a lot of people just don't have any understanding about what grief really is, and where they're getting their information on grief from is TV and movies and kind of our society. And our society says, on the whole, you know, still kind of on the average, if you have a like salaried position, you get maybe 3 days off for bereavement. And that's if you're related to the person, right? Like there's this whole kind of weird thing, like, well, your amount of bereavement, your paid time off from work, if you've had a loss, is going to be dependent upon your blood relation to that person, and how many generations. So if it's a great aunt, it's a great aunt. And so you're not entitled to as much, even if that great aunt raised you as like a mom, or if it's your best friend from childhood, well, technically, according to company policy at some companies, she's not a relative. So you're welcome to take like one bereavement day. And then if you need more time, take your own personal days. So there's this notion that like, get over it, right? Like you should take a few days to deal with the initial shock, cry, talk about it, accept casseroles from people, and then come back to work and get on with your life. And when you're grieving, you come to realize that's not reality.
Well, I think you've given us a nice transition into what grief is not by, you touched on the closure a little bit by saying, just get over it. So grief, closure is non-existent. It's not a thing in grief. Yep. We've talked about this in many episodes before. But the other thing about what does limiting bereavement time or having this preset, I know that for employers, they have to have some sort of plan, right? Or structure or benefit that they can define, right?
I don't know that they have to. Like, I don't think that there's any federal or state laws.
To have an organization and to have an HR department and employee relations, like you have to somewhat define what you're going to do when you have an employee who has a loss, right? You have to have some sort of plan or definition in place. Mm-hmm. But if you think about, you know, what is it saying? Like you only need 3 days. You're good, right? So if you need more, it's a sign of weakness, right?
And it says that like you should need the time right after the loss. Like that should be when it's the hardest for you. And the reality for most people, which really kind of gobsmacks them, is that it's not the hardest at the beginning. It's really freaking hard in the beginning. But you're still in a level of shock and you're not expecting this, even if it's like an illness that, you know, the death was anticipated. It's still kind of shocking at the beginning. And our brain is doing its job kind of protecting us from some of the pain. But really, for a lot of people, the hardest part comes a couple months later when
or now.
like which the, is the or point of this right episode. Or the holidays. Or if you're someone who experienced loss over like the summer, early fall, really awful perfect storm of like this is heading into, and if you live in New England, right? You're heading into this perfect storm of like, it's been a couple months, so it's really sinking in. It's really starting to hurt. You're really struggling. And the holidays are coming. So everyone's like, let's be happy. Let's just let like, you know, Uncle Joe wouldn't want us sad on Christmas. So let's pretend that he's like on vacation. And the days are shorter, the nights are longer, and it's really cold, right? Really hard stuff.
I am really proud of you.
That I didn't say Aunt Josephine?
You left Aunt Josephine alive, which is fantastic.
You all were making fun of me the other day, but like you don't have an Aunt Josephine. Why do you talk about one on the show? So I switched it to Uncle Joe.
That's funny. So let's talk about common grief reactions, because we talked about that a little bit, and how there is emotional, physical, behavioral, spiritual reactions components. And you talk about in the Holiday Grief email series that these are completely normal, right? You don't have to look at grief as being abnormal or weird or you're doing it wrong. No one does grief wrong. That's the bottom line. But you talk about heartache, obviously sorrow, agony. These are sort of the common things that people mm-hmm. think of. But something that maybe folks don't always think of as related to grief is jealousy. I think that's a really interesting piece. Can you talk a little bit more about that? Maybe something in your own practice?
You know, we might need to do a whole episode on jealousy in general. I think that jealousy is a really hard emotion for people to admit.
I can add that right now to our list.
Jim. Okay, great. We have a list. That's right. We do. We have a short
podcast note. Topics. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Really hard for people to talk about. I think it's one of those sort of emotions that our society labels as like bad. Like it's bad for you jealousy. To be jealous. Okay. It's bad for you to be jealous. And so we don't talk about it. And then when we don't talk about stuff, we feel shame, right? And so this mix of jealousy and shame can be really kind of dangerous and also really, really common. We also see it a lot in fertility and pregnancy loss, this concept of jealousy that's not talked about. But so we definitely see it after when someone's grieving, and we can see it around jealousy around other relationships that people get to have. And we certainly see it at the holidays, right? Like the group that I'm running right now. The group that I'm running right now, which is part of the Holiday Grief series, and we'll put a link to that. You can still certainly sign up for it. And it's running through the end of December. But they're talking this week about how their friends and their family and people in their life that have not experienced the kind of loss that they've experienced, they just don't understand. They don't understand what it's like to sit around like the Christmas or Thanksgiving table this year with their loved one's seat empty. And they're really jealous that those people don't know what this pain feels like.
Right.
So that's jealousy. I mean, I could talk forever about that. So
no, I think that's,
and maybe
that's,
we will.
It's important for folks to, I think, realize that these many, many, many different types of normal reactions are okay. And I think it's helpful to identify, why am I feeling this way? Oh, it's because I wish my grandmother was here, like so-and-so's grandmother's.
Right. And it's okay it's okay for me to be feeling this way. It doesn't mean mm-hmm. I'm a bad friend. It doesn't mean that I'm, you know, a sociopath or anything like that. It just means that I'm a human who's grieving and, has a broken heart. And jealousy is a really natural, sort of animalistic behavior, right? When we look at research on animals get jealous too. It's sort of like a biological, you know, I would argue it's a survival kind of instinct.
That's interesting. Yeah, we should do one on jealousy. Mm-hmm. More to come on jealousy, ladies and gentlemen. What about impatience? What do you mean by impatience?
Well, sort of, I guess, also irritability. Everything is frustrating, right? Like you have no tolerance when you're grieving for anything that goes wrong. So whether it's something like, if you're parenting small kids and you're also grieving, tolerating the time it takes them to like put their shoes on all by themselves in the morning suddenly can feel like a huge task, or sitting in the Dunkin' Donuts line and the person in front of you is ordering 15 things, or the worker is getting the order wrong. Suddenly that can feel like a huge, huge sort of personal slight. That's probably your grief talking.
Yeah, that's a really important point, I think, for folks to realize too, is that your reaction to other things in your life could be related to your loss and your grief and how that's affecting it. And it, and to recognize it's okay and allow yourself the agency to be, to feel that, right?
Yeah. Yes.
You talk about judging your own grief and trying to figure out, you know, are you doing it, and recognizing and noticing how often you're judging your own grief. And the bottom line is no one should judge their grief. They should understand it. And, you know, recognize that whatever they're feeling is part of the grief. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I mean, I think, and I think when we're talking about like people judging their grief, we're talking about people saying things like, what's wrong with me? Why am I so crabby? Why am I so sad still? Why don't I want to put up the Christmas tree this year? You know, my cousin lost the same person, right? Like maybe you lost a cousin. So we both lost our cousin. But my other cousin's doing okay. Like she's got her Christmas tree up and she doesn't seem like she's struggling. That comparison is really easy for people to do, especially if sort of the general people around you are acting like the loss never happened. And not really talking about it, and life is just sort of moving on. So it can be really hard to not judge your own grief.
So Jenny, I just want us to own the fact that this is an unabashedly big old plug for your amazing series and all the great content you have.
Well, I didn't mean for it to be, but
no, it's okay. But I think it's okay. Hey, this goes back to the self-worth episode, right?
Two
episodes ago. It's okay. So I am, you know, I'm picking and choosing some of the things to talk about today in this episode directly from Jenny's content from the holiday email series. So I would encourage everybody, if you want to learn more, to take advantage of that offering that Jenny has. So the next section you talk about is why are holidays so hard? And I don't want to spoil all this stuff here, but I think the one that really resonates with me is the loss of routine.
Well, so I think holidays are hard anyways. I was talking with someone at the gym this morning about that, and they said, like, I hate this time of year. This time of year is awful for me. And I hear that a lot in my therapy sessions. I hear that a lot from my students, that there's so much pressure during the holidays. And there's also so many different things that get piled on. So our routines change. Our job and our responsibilities don't necessarily lighten up. In fact, they usually kind of increase. You know, there was an article that another writer in the Her View From Home group wrote, and the Today Show called her, and they published it on their website. The Today Show didn't call me when they published my piece on their website, but maybe they did. I don't answer phone calls, so maybe there's some unheard voicemail from the Today Show. Anyways, it was all about how this is the most expensive, overwhelming time of the year when you have when you're a parent of young kids, right? Because it's like the Secret Santa store at the school, and it's school pictures, and it's the PTO bake sale, and it's a basket raffle, and it's a, you know, come read the night before Christmas with your principal. And so there's all this stuff and classroom gifts and stuff like that. And I think, you know, it went viral, and the Today Show wanted it because so many people can relate to that it's just there is no routine. And I think this is why when folks initially get to January, there's a little bit of like, oh, we can settle into a routine now.
Right.
Right. Like there's no more holiday parties. There's no more gifts to buy. There's no more, you know, work outings or school outings or anything like that. We just get to get back to our normal life.
But that is part of what can be the nice routine, right? Like those gatherings and those activities. And
what do you mean it can be a nice routine?
It can be a nice routine that people look forward to. So when
I guess you, like thinking, I would say more like loss, traditions, right? Those are more like traditions. Right.
Traditions. But is that what you mean by loss of routine? Because
no. I guess you could take it that way. That's how I took it. I was thinking about like when things in life get hard, so often what we need is to go back to what we needed as a child, right? And so what do kids, like little kids, need? They really benefit from structure, order, and routine, and mm-hmm. being able to predict what's coming next. When we're hurting, when the rug has been pulled out from under us and we don't know how we're going to take another step forward, most often what we need is routine. We need to get up at the same time, go to bed at the same time, have like a sort of daily routine that we're moving through. When I spoke about that, I was talking about the piece around how the holidays change that daily routine, that kind of regular weekly routine. But you're right. If we substitute the word tradition for routine,
mm-hmm. sure,
loss of tradition. That's absolutely right. Like so dad always carved the turkey and now dad's dead. Who's going to carve the turkey? This has always been our tradition. Or we would always go to Great Aunt Josephine's house for pie after Thanksgiving dinner. And now she's not here. Where are we going to go now? So yes, that too.
Well then, because you go on to say you could talk about holiday pressures, right? And one of the pressures that you talk about is social pressure, right? So expectation to attend holiday parties, decorate the house, be involved in other activities like a Christmas caroling or whatever it is that you always did. That there were traditions, mm-hmm. right? And there's social pressure there. If you're part of a bigger circle, not just your immediate family, but if you're part of a bigger circle, and so now you have this loss. And you lose that tradition. And then also you still have the pressure of saying, okay, it all ties together. Right? I think that's what really is great about the way you talk about grief as a grief therapist and a specialist. Because where does the social pressure come from? It could be internal, right? But it could be external, where these other external forces are going, just get over it. He would want you to come to this gingerbread party, right?
He wouldn't want you to think about him and be sad right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. He wouldn't want you to skip this party.
Right, right.
All that, right? Or like, you need to come out and get cheered up. There's that social pressure. But also, to your point about the internalized or the internal social pressure, there's that like, I'm the griever. I don't want to make people sad. I don't want to bring down the mood. So if people ask me and see me at the party and it's been, 2 months since the loss and it's been that long since they've seen me and they say, how are you? I have to lie to them and tell them I'm doing really great because mm-hmm. I don't want to ruin the party.
Right.
And that person I was talking at the gym with this morning when they said, I hate this time of year. And they said, I'm sorry to be like unloading on you and telling you all this. And I was like, no, I really appreciate that. And I wish more people, when we say, how are you doing? I wish more people were honest.
Yeah,
I really do. Like not just around grief in general. And I think part of that means that I wish more people were honest when they asked,
but
that they really cared.
Think about your own, feelings about something, right? Like, and if you, I get that. And I want people to be, I love people to be honest, but some people don't want the answer to not be positive. Like if that was me this morning at the gym, I've been in a good mood all day. I'm excited about Thanksgiving and I'm excited to get to the gym with you this morning. And
you have been in a good mood all day.
I have. But if it was me and I was like, hey, how are you? And they were like, well, not so great. I'd have been like, well, I don't have the bandwidth to be your therapist right now or here.
Oh,
here,
so you don't want the answer to be not positive. You don't want the honest answer.
As a co-host of the Changing Perspectives podcast, I should be someone that says, yes, tell me. I want you to be honest with me. Tell me what's really going on or tell me how you're really feeling. But I don't want that. I don't think I have the bandwidth to support that.
Well, and I think that also speaks to honesty, right? Because we mm-hmm. all have moments where we don't have the bandwidth for that. And we talk about that in our relationship, right? Like you have a job where you are around death and dying and grief all the mm-hmm. time. And we've learned that that is not something that I can always hear about or talk about with you. And so there has to be this sort of like check-in and, you know, like, can I talk to you about this? But also a responsibility on my part to be like, I love you. I can't talk about this right now.
Yeah.
And so with honesty comes the need for difficult conversations, right? And boundaries and saying no. And as you're saying that, I'm wondering, like, is that why sometimes in public I really just avoid people? Like I avoid eye contact. Is it because then when I connect with people, I do want to ask the hard questions. I don't know. That's just sort of an aside that I'm thinking out loud.
Yeah. Yeah. But you know, tying it back to grief, I think if you are someone that was like, hey, how are you doing? Please don't expect them to tell you that they moved on or there's closure, they're doing better, they're not sad anymore, he's in a better place. No, I think if you genuinely want to support somebody and you go up to them and say, how are you doing? Please don't expect a positive answer. And if you really want to support them, be there to, you know, to have an honest, difficult conversation. I guess it's, so my example this morning, I think, is outside of a normal grief discussion. If I'm bumping into somebody that I know just had a loss and they're bereaved and I say, you know, if I say, oh, how are you doing? I'm literally asking for them to tell me where they are in their grief journey. I know that, and that's okay with me personally, individually. And that was your point, right? Because we want to get away from folks just wanting the answer to be positive.
I mean, like taking the responsibility, if you're going to ask a question, and I think this flips into like, how can you support someone who's grieving? Right. Which we did that episode. Like,
we did.
Probably.
We did children's
98 grief. Episodes away.
Yeah, we did a few different ones.
So maybe it's worth revisiting. But, you know, taking responsibility that when you ask someone who's grieving, how are you doing, to maybe really mean that you're asking them how they're doing, that you're not maybe asking that question unless you're open to them being honest. And maybe that means like, no, really, how are you doing? Like the holidays must be really, really hard for you. How are you getting through this? That would be kind of a lovely gift. And look, the griever might say, I really don't want to talk about it.
Right.
Thanks so much. I don't want to talk about it. It's awful. Or they might say, thank you so much. Nobody's asking me that. So I don't know. I feel like we got off on a tangent there.
No, that's fine. I think we're good.
This is what we do.
We're known for our tangents.
Should be called like the Changing Perspectives. Wait, we're on a tangent podcast.
So I want to go on to, sort of the next step in thinking about holiday grief and a way to sort of cope. And that is to honor and include your loved one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you write in your email series, you think about how to hold on to your memories of them and to feel connected with them this holiday season. And what are some of the ideas that folks can do for that, Jenny?
Well, I mean, I think they're limitless. And first I would say the caveat here is if you want to, right? Like it is okay to do that. And it can be, a healthy, really empowering, when I use the word healing, I'm not using it in as a synonym for closure. It's not that. But it can be really healing to do that. So someone was talking on our grief Facebook group this morning, or maybe it was last night, about how they cook their son's favorite dish for Thanksgiving and for Christmas. And I invited them to tell me what that dish was. So it was this morning, because I don't know yet what those dishes were. But so rather than like ignoring their son's existence and fact that he used to sit at those tables with them and be part of it, instead of like trying to pretend that they're not hurting, they honor his memory and feel connected to his memory and are still able to include him by cooking his favorite dishes. Other people, specifically around the holidays, do things like have a special ornament on their Christmas tree, or they still hang a stocking for that individual, or they make a donation in that person's name, or maybe they volunteer for their favorite charity, or they do something that feels connected to them. Or if there's someone that feels connected to their loved one when they go to the cemetery, you know, they'll decorate the grave marker and things like that. So it's really limitless around what you can do. I think the important thing to note is that you can, and it doesn't mean it's not painful, but it can be really powerful to give yourself permission to do that.
Right. So I think it sort of ties into, you know, like I said, it's all connected. So if you have this loss of tradition, and then you have the social pressure of needing to be involved in these things, or wanting to attend the same, you know, gingerbread party every year, ugly sweater party or something. It's like, how do you then, you know, begin to incorporate your loved one's memory into some of these things, right? Maybe you attend the sweater party every year with the same one that was his or her favorite, right?
Yeah, like it's limitless.
It up, right? It really is limitless.
And I think memorial tattoos, right? Are something to, I can't remember if it was our rambling episode or if it was this episode now, where you mentioned your tattoos, but
rambling.
That's something that a lot of people do that helps them feel connected to their loved one. The notion here is that we get pressure as a society to kind of like let go of our loved one, to let go of the memory, to let go of the weight of them in our lives, when really what we should be doing, or I guess what a healthy thing to do, or to consider doing, is to feel more connected to them, to kind of hold on tighter,
right.
Not in a like denial kind of way, but in an acceptance that, I can find a way for them to still be meaningful and to still be a part of my life. And this is regardless of sort of spiritual beliefs or what you believe happens after death. This is about sort of staying connected to their role in your life and how important they were.
Let me ask a question. Because the title of your ebook and workbook is Managing Grief During the Holidays, right? How to Navigate Joy While Grieving, an ebook and workbook. How do folks find that? Is that only through the email series, or can they get that separately, Jenny?
The ebook?
Yeah.
The ebook you can get separately. So I will put both of those links in our show notes. But you can also find both of them on my Facebook page, Changing Perspectives with Jenny Brennan, or my Instagram, Changing Perspectives blog, or my website, changingperspectivesonline.com. Or you can email me, but they're out there. So you can either do the email series, or you can do the ebook, or you can purchase them together for, and I think you get like a 25% savings, I think, nice. If you purchase both of them together.
I love the ebook, and that's what I've been using to navigate us through this episode. And this is really where a lot of the content in your weekly email series is from.
That's an assumption you just made. It's actually a lot of the info from, it's actually the workbook. Well, I don't know. It's all the same. It's all from my head. In my experience, the email series came first, And then,
I know, but I meant to say it's all very similar. Like what the content that you're getting.
They're designed to pair together, right? Like, so the ebook was originally designed to enhance the email series as like a workbook, but it can stand alone on its own.
Yeah. Anyway, the title is Managing Grief During the Holidays. So let's say I have a scenario for you. And as a therapist and as a clinician, you know, I want your opinion. Let's theoretical scenario, hypothetical fiction. I have a significant other, whatever, in my life that dies. We were super like Clark Griswold, Buddy the Elf, Christmas freakazoids. Like, was our season. Decorated everything from top to bottom. November 1st, boom, tree is up. All the trimmings. You know, the soundtrack to the Grinch movie is playing all the time, but this person dies. I choose to manage, quote unquote, by doing zero of what we did before. Mm-hmm. Nothing. Mm-hmm. Stark house, no decorations, no music, nothing. Am I managing grief during the holidays?
And I think that's, I don't know if it's one of the chapters in the book or if it's just in the email series, but I say celebrate or don't, that there's no right or wrong. So it's really about kind of giving yourself permission to do what you want to do. And if you don't want to celebrate Christmas, if the way you're going to manage your grief during the holidays is to participate in the holidays, that is okay if that's what you need.
And I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I want to.
But that's what you do.
That's what I do. I am in my scenario. I'm having these like internal assumptions, and I'm taking off my grief specialist hat because I wear one too as a member of the donation community, and having 15 years of talking to families who have experienced a loss to see if they want donation. Side note, listen to our first episode, and I think episode 8, which was all about organ and tissue donation.
You haven't gone into your career for a long time.
It's been a while.
I think we might have listeners who are like, donation, like what kind of donation?
Donation, what are you talking about?
Right, like I don't even think it's in our in our show notes or our overview, but you work in organ and tissue donations.
So Jenny and I are both, I think we're I'm comfortable saying we're both grief specialists because of, from different angles and perspectives. Mm-hmm. But I'm taking that hat off a little bit and thinking of myself just as a, regular person. And I think that me even describing that scenario was me assuming that it wasn't normal to no longer be so super Christmassy. That's how I'm dealing with the grief. And I think that even the lay person is gonna go, oh, that person is struggling.
Yeah,
like their reaction to this loss is not normal. And I want you to tell the world right now that that's not true. That's normal, right, Jenny?
That's totally normal. Can it also be problematic? Sure, right? So it depends on the person. If someone is then refusing to participate in life, like that's a different choice, right? Where that's different than deciding not to decorate your house for Christmas. If we're starting, we certainly have to make sure that we're not sort of starting to sort of lean in towards the area of like depression.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say that a lot of people, especially when it's like their first holiday after a loss, or sometimes when it's like a big holiday, like it's the fifth holiday or the 10th holiday, a lot of them will say, I want to do something completely different. I want to go on a cruise. I want to go to Arizona. I want to not put up the Christmas tree at all. I want to do something completely different. So I really don't feel kind of reminded in a way of what the traditions are without them now. Both are fine, right? And so the whole point of this series is really to encourage people to think about what they need and give themselves, like, to really think about it and to really listen to what they need, not listen to what mm-hmm. society is telling them they should be doing or feeling or thinking, and then give themselves permission to act on it and to advocate for themselves with their support network, which I think is an important piece here. And I know we're sort of heading into the last quarter of this episode because we're at 45 minutes right now. But a big piece of all of this is not just the griever kind of doing this internalization and thinking about it either through journaling or just sort of sitting with their thoughts, but then it's about inviting and asking people around them into the process, because we are really bad at supporting grievers. We on the whole, and there's of course outliers, the collective societal we, knowing that there are some of us that are better than others. And I'm not putting myself into the better than others group. I think so often people are like, well, call me if you need me, let me know if you need anything. Mm-hmm, and they mm-hmm. think to themselves, like, surely if they call me and say that they need dinner, I will bring something to them. But they're never going to call, right? No. They're never going to ask, you know, hey, can you pick my kids up at soccer today? Cause I just can't, I can't do it. And so it's about the griever actually reaching out to their support network and saying, like, hey, can I talk to you about my grief right now? I'm having a really hard time with the holidays. Feel free to say no, but it would really help me a lot if you would, you know, come over every Monday for coffee with me or something like that. Or, you know, when you pick up little Johnny at the soccer field, this winter, can you also pick up my kiddo? Cause it's a lot to wrap my mind around going out or something like that. Right. Like, kind of fill in the blank there. But I think that's an important piece to also throw into this, is that unfortunately, it's kind of on the griever to ask for what they need, to advocate for what they need. Cause the support system on the whole usually is not going to know what to do. They're not going to sort of know how to read minds here. And so they're going to lean towards not doing anything. And it's really important to not read that as not being loved anymore by their system. Yeah. Does that all make sense?
Absolutely.
Okay.
It's an important message. So I don't want to give too much away to Jenny's ebook and the email series. I had one more quote that I wanted to share, but did you have anything else for anybody? Any final thoughts on this, Jenny?
I hate when you ask me that, because then I feel like I feel
well,
like
I'm going to ask. Though, I know every episode.
I feel pressured to have something profound to say. No, I don't think I do. I think I'm struggling to see if I do have something to say. No, just that I guess it's normal for the holidays to be really hard in general, even if you're not grieving. And if you're grieving, really normal for them to be excruciatingly hard.
Yeah. You say this: grieving is the experience of feeling a million heartbreaks every day. And that's super profound. And I think that people don't necessarily realize why they may be feeling a certain way during the holidays. If you've had a loss, many, many, many years ago, and, you always did a certain thing, went to a certain house on a holiday, and there could be something that comes up that reminds you of that person. You know, I think that I would really highly encourage folks to take advantage of Jenny's ebook and journal. There are a lot of good.
I feel like this podcast episode is like those old infomercials from when we were growing up.
No, it's not.
I feel like that's what it is.
No, it's not. But there's a lot of great journal prompts in here and lots of extra journal pages. And I'm thinking about people that, you know, identify themselves as not having a recent loss. But I'm looking at this and, you know, luckily I haven't in my personal life, but I'm looking at this going, oh, there's a few of these journal prompts that are interesting to me. And I would have some stuff to put in there. Even though I haven't had, you know, a fresh loss or a recent loss, I think. So my point is, this is accessible. for a lot of people. And you don't have to use Jenny's. I know this is a blatant advertisement for Jenny's stuff, but you don't, you know, any sort of grief journal, any sort of resource where you can express your thoughts and feelings to help you manage your grief through the holidays, I would highly recommend people do so.
Yeah. Or, and reaching out for therapy is a good thing. Reaching out and talking to people is a good thing. Maybe, you know, thinking about the people in your life right now who maybe also have had some loss and engaging in some conversations, right? I think it's okay to parties to have these conversations about real stuff. Like, hey, you know, you lost your mom a couple of years ago. How are the holidays for you? You know, because I'm struggling or something like that. Like, it's okay to let's shine some light on this topic and have some better conversations about it.
And not be afraid to.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I don't know if that was profound or not, but
what do you think?
Well, I think there's a lot of people that are hurting right now. And so I guess to sort of tie this all up, the other day, I was like, why are so many people signing up for like my newsletter? Cause I got like a little alert on my phone. I was like, and they're signing up through like an old link. They're still getting I think they're getting a free grief journal and guide or something. But it was weird. And then later on that day when I was in bed, finally like scrolling Facebook, I was like, oh, last year on this day, I wrote a post about how it's that time of year again. Like the stores are all decorated for Christmas and there's Christmas music everywhere and there's festive, you know, if you're on the video, my festive Dunkin' Donuts cup and Starbucks cups and all that, right? Like it's the holidays, it's cheerful, but there are a whole group of people that walk amongst us in those decorated stores, in that that line for coffee every morning, that are listening to Christmas music, that are heartbroken and are devastated and are hiding their grief. And so I wrote that post last year and it kind of went viral-ish. And then it showed up in people's Facebook memories. And so it took off again, which isn't because it's a beautifully written piece, because it's not. It's like five paragraphs of me just talking about how people feel. But resonated people, with people.
Yeah, they relate to that big time.
And so many of them, you know, I get sort of tagged if someone shares something. So many of them were saying like, yep, another year later, and I still feel this way.
It doesn't go away.
It doesn't go away. Some years are easier maybe, or maybe less painful than others. But my point here in talking about this is that there are so many people out there in your regular day-to-day life who are grieving. And there are probably so many people in your like intimate circle who are grieving, right? Maybe they didn't have a loss this year, but the holidays might be a really tender spot for them. So maybe it's okay to sort of reach out and check in with people a little bit more.
Yeah. Jenny, that was a great way to tie us up.
Thanks.
Very good.
All right.
I see why you are you. Okay, so Patreon. Check us out on Patreon. Check Jenny out on Changing Perspectives on Facebook, Instagram, The Changing Perspectives, and check out all of the great ebooks that Jenny is putting out. And the workbook is awesome for this managing grief during the holidays. You can find me on TikTok you're welcome. You just interrupted my plug.
Sorry.
Walked right over my plug.
Well, no, I'm pausing so that your plug can be its own thing for sure.
Okay. You can find me at Dizzy Word Lounge on TikTok. That's my main social media page. I post videos about beer reviews and craft cocktails and music and drumming and that kind of stuff. So you can find me over there.
So you can come to my page for like the heavy stuff. And then when you're like, "Whoa, I'm done talking about feelings," then you can go to Josh's TikTok for like music and craft cocktails and beer reviews and just kind of like fun stuff.
Yeah. Fun stuff. All right. Anything else?
No, I think that's it.
All right. Well, I hope everybody enjoys this episode. We need to shout out our Patreon. I did not forget.
I did. So did you pull up people's names?
No, I don't know how to do that.
Okay. All righty. So give me a moment. I don't know, Josh, vamp about something. Here I am in Patreon. All right. Here are our new Patreon members, and they are all our top level. So what is that?
Yeah.
Insider?
Extra insider.
Super
the
awesome.
Top level.
The top level.
The super awesome.
So Cole Clifford,
yeah.
Terry Ardner, and Melanie Woo. Cassidy. Thank you so much for being our newest Patreon subscribers. You all rock. Looking forward to seeing the rest of you over there soon. And again, all three levels have access to the community. So, you can kind of get your feet wet and see like, oh, maybe I don't want to join the top or the middle tier yet. I just want to kind of hear my name on a podcast episode. And I want to sort of look around and see what this community is like. The more people that are in the community, more active it can be, right?
But then you don't get the rambling episode, which
you don't get the rambling. You don't get the video content. You don't get it early. And you don't get the free merchandise for this first year.
Yeah.
You do get the free ebook though, if you sign up by November 30th. So I think that we've officially plugged, which is really difficult for me. So if you haven't listened to that self-worth episode,
103,
we're pushing, you're pushing me out of my comfort zone by plugging me. And I just have to say really quickly, that I do appreciate that because I have been struggling. Cause when I launched the email series, someone commented like, oh, isn't that nice that you get to profit off of people's heartache? And that's not nice. And so it's a sort of creates, I think, a larger dialogue. I would love to be doing all of this for free, right? And I think you're so passionate about your work. You would love to be doing what you're doing for free. The reality is that we live in a world where we do need to pay bills and make the world go round. And so people do develop skill sets for which they are professionally trained. And it's okay to pay them for that. So I've been sort of struggling with that and trying to push myself into that self-worth piece. So I appreciate that you made me do that self-worth episode, and I appreciate that you were plugging me today because you forced me to sit in that uncomfortable place. So thank you.
Get comfortable with being uncomfortable, Jenny.
Yeah. And I multitask.
That's where you grow.
I did my nails.
Yes. I love it. They look great.
So if you're on the video, you can kind of see them.
Yeah. Excellent.
Okay. All right.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you. Thank you for joining us, everybody. We will see you again on episode 106. And Jenny, say bye.
Bye, Jenny.